This is Colby Colgate recording George and Eva Colgate. The date is April 14th, 2006. So, George and Eva, what are your full names?
George Colgate.
Eva Colgate.
What's your maiden name?
My maiden name was Adams. My parents were Lee and Celeste Adams, and I had two sisters.
What other family members did you have?
We had 9 children in our family. My mother and our father. My siblings were Bob, Dick, Helen, Don, Nell, Bill, myself, George, Lois, and Jimmy. 9 in the family.
What brought you, or?
Your sisters.
Oh, my sisters were Alpha Jean and Shirley. Alpha Jean still lives in Custer County. My sister Shirley lives in Boise, Idaho. What brought my family to the area? My father was killing himself farming in or down around Rocky Ford, east of Pueblo. And he moved up for an easier life and a better life for all of us.
What brought your family to the area?
Well, my father had purchased a piece of ground near Hillside, Colorado. And it's been in the family about 100 years now. It's been passed down to his son, and I got it from my father. So, because we own the ground there, that's why we're in that area.
When you were growing up, how far away was your closest neighbor, and were you guys close?
Well, about a mile and a half, about a mile from there. We had a neighbor on both sides, but the one with the one daughter was about a mile.
That's about a mile and a half away, the nearest neighbor. We were busy with our work and didn't associate much with the neighbors.
What kind of transportation did you use when you were growing up?
We walked, we had horses.
We walked and my father had the 1922 Chevy truck. That was our transportation.
Do you have any favorite vacation memories or any childhood memories that you remember?
My father had a 2 weeks vacation every year, and we generally went fishing on the Western Slope, Crest Butte, Gunnison, Lake City, the mountainous fishing country over there.
Do you have any vacation memories?
Never had any. Well, that's not true. When I was 10 years old, we went to California and I got to see the Rose Bowl parade, and Shirley Temple was the Grand Marshal, and I saw it 60 years later and she was Grand Marshal again.
Were the schools any different when you were growing up, and what did you study?
Schools were about the same. Subjects were a little different. We emphasized academics, math, spelling, language, science, chemistry, biology. Had 3 foreign languages offered. Civic, art, music, and the physical education was mainly boys, football, basketball, track, but the variety of subjects offered were a little more than we have at Custer County now.
I went to a one-room schoolhouse. students were from first grade through eighth grade.
Where?
At the Willow Schoolhouse in the valley. And there were three students in my class. And because we had a very rare one-room school because we had quite a library. We had lots and lots of books to read, and I still don't know why we had such a large library for a one-room school, but we had lots and lots and lots of good books that we read. It was cold. We walked to school. When I was in seventh grade, we rode, my younger sister Shirley and I rode a horse to school. But mostly we walked. That was a mile and three-quarters.
Did you go to the Old Westcliff Schoolhouse?
I went to the Old Westcliff Schoolhouse in my first grade. Then we moved down in the valley and I went to the Willow Schoolhouse for the rest of it.
If you rode your horses to school, where would they stay?
They had stables behind the schoolhouse where, and our parents would bring hay and put in the stables, and then we had to feed our horses but when we got to school, and then we'd be sure they had water, and then after school we'd go get them and ride home.
Another thing about that day, riding horses to school in the wintertime, had to ride bareback, because if you were riding with saddle, they would freeze, so you had to ride bareback, so you had the warmth of the horse to keep you warm when you get to school.
Do you have any other school memories?
School memories? Oh, we played lots of games. During recess, the school was actually used as a social thing for the whole community, and there'd be box socials and dances and high socials and dances. It was used a lot for community activities.
What kind of chores did you do around the house when you were younger?
With that many in the family, everybody had to work. Recall one of my assignments was to keep the two wood boxes full, the one in the kitchen and the one in the living room. Before that chore, I was paid 2 cents a day, which came out to 14 cents a week. And if I could find another job to pay me one penny, I got 15 cents. A movie at that time cost 10 cents, a sack of popcorn cost 5 cents. So if I could get the 15 cents, I could go to the movie and get a sack of popcorn every Saturday, which was the highlight of the week.
When I was in eighth grade and in high school, the theater was open in Westcliff, and my daddy loved Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, so usually at least once a week we all got to go to the movie to see one or the other of those stars. If we got our chores done. And the chores were feeding the calves and feeding the chickens and getting the cow's milk and all that good stuff.
We also had stock. We had a milk cow, and I was designated to milk the cow. We had chickens. We had a garden and an orchard, so we grew most of the food that we ate.
What do you remember about the Depression?
I lived on a farm, so we really weren't affected too much as far as not having enough food. My mother sewed our clothes, but I do remember that towards the end of the Depression, Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to bring up the price of animals, and so he came into the farms and he killed all the young animals so that they would not grow up any bigger, and supposedly that was to raise the price of beef and pork. I really don't know if they did or not.
I remember stock being destroyed to make a shortage of stock and raise the price. I remember seeing long, long rows of grain with kerosene poured on it and burned to destroy it so you can make a shortage of food to raise the price of food, which I think was a mistake. That was the government's thinking then, and I'm not sure it's better now.
What effect did World War II have on
you? Well, I remember sugar rationing, but my mother had bees, so we had lots of honey, so we didn't worry too much about not being able to buy sugar. And then we had gas cards, where you'd have to take a little coupon and go get gas, but we had a pickup and we didn't go very far. And so we did, and we had horses that pulled all the farm equipment, so we didn't really need gas.
A lot of things rationed. Food, meat, sugar, gasoline and oil, rubber products. A lot of things were rationing. You had to have your coupons to get it. But during the Depression, my father had a steady job. He got a paycheck every week, so we were one of the very fortunate people in the community, and we did have enough food. We grew food at home too. So, yes, we had a hard time with a big family, but everybody else had a hard time too. Someone asked if I was poor during the Depression. My answer was no, not any poorer than anybody else. We were all poor.
What connection have you had with the armed services?
I was in the Army during World War II. Went over to Europe in the Army Engineers. And as in the war in Europe, I was injured, sent home with pretty well broken up, spent 9 months in the hospital, finally released wearing a steel brace on my leg and using crutches. But I learned to walk on my own 2 feet. I'm still walking. So I did survive, but it was a rough way.
When you were younger, were there any community groups that you or your parents belonged to?
You didn't have time. You had to work. You worked most of the time just to keep food and be able to have money to pay your bills. In fact, my sister came to visit me about 5 years ago, and we went over by Lake City. And she said, "Why didn't we ever go here?" And I said, my answer was, because we worked. We didn't have time. Once a year, we got to go to the state fair if we got our chores done.
Organized community groups. I don't remember them. The children in the neighborhood played together, but I don't recall my parents being in community groups.
When I was about eighth grade, they had what they call a home demonstration clubs, and they would come and show the farm wives how to make mattresses and quilts and stuff like that, and they would use the one-room schools for these classes, and I helped make many a mattress.
What was your first memory of a car or a telephone or any other modern convenience?
Well, first car I recall was the 1922 Chevy pickup a truck that my parents had. First radio I recall was a homemade one that my brother made out of razor blade and wires and coils, and he did get radio reception. That was back in the early 30s.
Probably my lamp around to see where you were going and what you were doing.
And telephones, I would call telephones of a community telephone that did, each person had a certain ring for them. It'd ring two shorts and a long, or a short, a long, and a short to get certain people. We had a one ring that you'd ring, and everybody is supposed to answer the phone. So if you needed to talk to everybody, one ring, you could get everybody answering the phone. And often when you got a call from outside of someplace, anybody could pick up the phone and listen to your conversation. And if you were working one place that someone from Minnesota called, Minneapolis, and they rang our number, we answered the phone, and phones they could hear picking up all the way along the line, and reception wasn't good. Finally, someone came on and says, "Look, if everyone would hang up, when you get through, I will call you and tell you what the conversation was. But Mr. Colgate needs to get the message now from Minneapolis." Everybody hung up. After I was through, she called him all the lines and told him what the conversation was. That was telephones in the early days.
Was everybody in the community fortunate enough to have a telephone?
Pretty much. There might be one or two people that didn't have a phone, but they used everybody else's. And they were perfectly able to come in your house and use your phone. I think almost everybody around our area had a telephone.
Houses were very seldom locked. If somebody wanted to use a telephone, they had permission to come in your house and use your telephone even if you weren't home. That was a day when you didn't have to lock up everything.
Other than perhaps listening to the radio, what other recreation or entertainment did you participate in?
Reading. Read a lot.
Everybody read a lot.
We sewed. We quilted. Our piece quilts so that we could tie them. It usually took too long to quilt them, so we'd make them, and then everybody would get together and we'd tie the quilts.
Quilting bee?
I have quilts that are 7 years old that I help tie.
I didn't listen to the radio. We didn't have a radio.
We did. It was operated by a battery, and the battery would run down, and we would all be clustered around with our ears trying to hear Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
But we had enough work to do around the place with the gardens and orchards and livestock that we had enough to do.
Never ran out of stuff to do.
What role did music and art play in your life?
Very little in ours. You want to know when I'd listen to music?
Yeah.
I came home one day and heard beautiful organ music coming out of the house. I went in. My mother was the only one home. I asked if somebody else was there, and she said no. I didn't know she played the organ, and I didn't find out till later she did, but she never played it except for herself. Someone had criticized her about it playing one time, and she never played it in public again. She used to bake beautiful bread. Someone complained about her bread. She quit baking bread. She was very sensitive, but so she quit baking bread. She quit playing the organ. But music and art, we didn't have time for that either.
Tell us about homes you lived in that were special to you. Where were they located, and did you have your own room?
No, I didn't have my own room. Eventually, as I got older, I did get my own bed. But my aunt from Victor, Cripple Creek area, visited us and saw what my bed looked like. Next time she came, she brought a blanket. It was not a new one, but it was a good blanket. She says, this is for George, so he won't have to sleep under that tattered old blanket that he's got there. I did have my own bed.
I slept with my sisters, so I was probably in sixth, seventh grade, and I didn't get my own room until I was a senior in college.
Were many opportunities closed to women as you were growing up?
I don't really know. I went to college, had no problems. I don't think so.
In my life, in my younger years, it was a male-dominated world. There wasn't too many opportunities for women except stay at home, do the cooking and house cleaning, and keep,
or be a school teacher.
Keep kids.
You could be a school teacher.
Eva, what was it like to be a female in a ranching community when you first came here?
You worked a lot because you didn't have the modern conveniences that you have now. The washing machines were not electric. They were not. My father finally put a little gasoline motor on our washing machine, but most of the time you washed on a washboard and then you hung your clothes out on the line. And you had to iron everything. You had to iron and you use what they call a sad iron. And I always thought that was because so sad you have to use them because they would get very hot. You had to put them on a wood stove with a pot, and they were very heavy.
I recall we had a tumbler washing machine, but then to take the clothes out, you had to run them through a wringer. There was a hand-powered wringer. One or two of us children were always cranking the crank to wring the clothes, try to close out from the washing machine.
What makes this county different from other counties?
The fact that it's fairly isolated. It's surrounded by mountains. And you have to be wanting to go to Westcliff. It's not something that you can just go through. You have to go get on one of the two major highways and go to Westcliff. It's not just there that you would drive through. I think mainly it's the mountains on the west, just angry crystals.
That's it, the mountains.
In Custer County, how have you seen this county change?
It has changed from a basically rural community to more of a urban, but it still tries to keep part of its rural advantages and so on. But I think it has changed negatively. I do not really like it. Do not think the changes are positive.
The last 80 years, we've seen a lot of changes. Essentially, there's been four major changes that I know of. And I believe those are in people, agricultural and mining, weather, and the use of the San Ysidro Range. And in our opinion, these changes have been an adverse effect on the Wet Mountain Valley, its present and its future.
Can you be more specific about some of the changes?
Well, Custer County used to be a mining, agricultural area. And it has changed now to more tourism, part-time residents, summer residents, retired folks, gotten away from mining almost entirely, and pretty well well gotten away from agriculture. There used to be a lot of cattle stocked in the valley, and now most of the agriculture on the valley is growing hay for shipment outside the valley.
There's still a few ranches that have cattle, but
not. Used to be the children of the ranchers would grow up to be ranchers, take the ranch. But today, as soon as the children get an education, they go out into the outside world to live. On agriculture, mining, that's been the change. If the mining has disappeared, agricultural has changed considerably.
In the early 40s into the middle of the 1950s, there were 28 grade A dairies in the valley, and the milk was shipped to Diablo, and there bottled and were sold in the town of Diablo. And in about in 1954, they just all closed up. There are no more.
The weather has changed a lot. And I recall winter starting in October through November, December, and into January. But now winter doesn't start till maybe December, January, and February. I recall seeing banks of snow on each side of the road, 4 and 5 foot tall most of the winter as you drove back and forth. I've seen temperatures of 60 below zero quite often. Times when it was 20, 30 below zero is the high for the day places. So the weather has warmed up, and the winter has moved later in the year. It's later in the spring, so it doesn't last as long. So we are a lot drier, less snow, and not the real deep freezes we used to have.
What is your hope for the future of this county?
Well, I hope they can stay essentially a rural area. I don't have much hope for it because the things that make it a rural area are disappearing. But I hope that it can stay simple, friendly people.
What about this area is most valuable to you?
I think the people, the Tang de Crystal Range, the mountains, and the simple rural atmosphere of the area. You?
I agree.
Are there any other stories you would like to share about?
One thing I do recall, there used to be a sign on the north entry to West Cliff that said, "Vehicles with lugs and horses with shoes for it forbidden." And that was when they first started first surfacing the roads. And I don't know what happened to the sign. I'd love to find it. And in the 50s, almost all of the roads, secondary roads in the county, were paved. You can still find decent pavement in almost all of the secondary roads in the county. Still come up to the dirt.
Are there any other stories you'd like to add about West Cliff?
I don't have enough time to tell you. Nope, that'll be it.
Thank you.